Book of Luke, chapter number 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus, answering, said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said, "Simon, see thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said unto the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." I know that's a lot of reading, and I don't know that we won't cover it all. But I'd like to just think about this. I'd like to think about the evidence that this woman had been forgiven. And you might say, well, she didn't get forgiven until the end. Well, I'm going to disagree with that. I'm going to disagree with that, and I'm going to say at the end, the Lord confirmed what had already been done. What she was doing was manifesting what had been done in her heart to the world, to the Lord Jesus in front of the world. And will you just bear with me a minute or two? So let's think about this woman. And I want you to think about it in this sense. If God forgave me, what would be the attitude, the character, what would be the evidences of God forgiving me of my sins? Let's just think along that line. So, by the word of God, this Pharisee desired him that he would come and eat. And he sat down to eat, and behold, a woman in the city. Now, I don't know what city. I mean, it's hard to tell. And you might say, well, now this is the woman from Bethany. But I'm going to say that the timeline is about 2 years different, I believe. I believe that in Matthew, Mark, and John, that the timeline is going to be the Mary that's a sister to Martha, and it's going to be right at a few days before the Lord is going to be crucified. I believe this timeline is almost 2 years before the Lord is crucified. And if you don't agree with that, that's all right. That's all right. You don't have to agree with me on that. Let's just look at the scripture. So a woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now, you think of the attitude that Simon has toward this woman. He has no regard for her whatsoever. In fact, in his mind, this woman is a nothing, a nobody, and does not even deserve forgiveness. That's his attitude. Now, she's going to a house. I believe she's very aware of whose house she's going to. She's going to the Pharisee's house. What the Lord has done for her. Now, you may say, well, you know, he's not done anything yet. Well, you tell me why she's there if he's not done anything yet. You know who loved first? He loved us. We love him because he loved us first. Did I choose him? I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. There's something we don't necessarily, we don't have a record of it. And some people might say, well, now this was Mary Magdalene. We don't have any Bible to back that up either. All that we know is this is a well-known, renowned sinner. Known looks like, if I was thinking by the Bible is saying, I would say that this woman is known, whatever city this woman is known in this city. You're known, folks. You are known. The church, the community, the family knows you. Now, what brings this woman to such a place of rejection? Such a place that would shame her, degrade her, count her as the offscouring of the world. There has to have been something done on the inside to make her do this. Now, if this woman has been forgiven, you know what the Lord, I mean, you know what the bottom line, the nitty gritty is? She loves him. She loves him. And she loves him because he has forgiven her. So as we think about our families and our lives, is there any manifestation of us being forgiven? Now you tell me this. Can I see whether God forgave this man right here or not? Can I look in his heart? Now, stay with me. Can I see whether God has forgiven him? Can I see whether God has forgiven any one of you? I can't see that work. I'm unable to see that work. Agree? But I can see the evidence of that work through the life that is lived afterward. I can see the evidence of forgiveness by the love that is on display. I can see that this woman, now you think about this woman, she comes in and she never looks at the Savior. I believe she's seen him sometime before, but now, she doesn't look at him. She came behind him either leaning on his elbow or maybe sitting cross-legged or however it might be. Maybe on his
on his knees, sitting upright. I don't know how it was, but this is what I read. That she came behind him, anointed his head, washed his feet with her tears. She is shamed, shameful. She is so ashamed of the life that she has lived. Now you think about it. She's not got a tear or two. No. She is weeping enough to wash, Jesus said, to wash his feet with her tears. I'm not talking about two or three tears and a little show. I'm talking about that it's ongoing. That there is an ashamed lady here, not ashamed of the Savior. She's already proved that she would come down to Simon's house, a Pharisee. Do you think this woman knows what the Pharisees think about her? Well, honestly, do you think this woman knows what most of all of the community thinks about her? And yet, she is willing to come where the Savior is and to put herself in the limelight in one sense and in another sense from her perspective, not even willing to show her face, but comes behind him and weeps and washes his feet with her tears. And we're not able to give a testimony in the church. Have we really been forgiven? Preacher, you going down that road again? I am. Because this woman has got evidence of forgiveness. She's got evidence. You read with me. Now, you think, have you ever stood to your feet and the tears flow off of your face and off of your cheeks and out of your eyes when you begin to thank God for what He's done for you? Do you think that's unusual? Is it unusual for someone that's been forgiven to love in this manner? I mean, to love in a manner that I'm ashamed of my sin, but I'm not ashamed of my Savior. That I'm so brokenhearted that I want to honor Him, to glorify Him, to exalt Him, to please Him. I want Him to know that I love Him. This woman wants the Lord Jesus to know that she loves Him. Let me ask you this. Could you go to downtown? Could you go to downtown and give testimony of what the Lord's done for you? Could you stand up in the middle of the ball game at Hot Springs Elementary School when there was a little silence and the tears flow off of your face and give testimony for what God's done for you? That'd be a tough place, wouldn't it? That'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? Would you think that the church house would be as easy a place to give a testimony for what God's done for you as there would be in all of the world? I tell you, this lady's not at the ball game. This lady is in a Pharisee's house who said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is and who she is, and he wouldn't allow her to even touch him. But you know, the Lord had already touched her. The Lord had already touched her. You might disagree with that, but I'm going to take the Bible as a whole. And I'm going to say that He has already done a work in her, or she wouldn't be here. And if she is here at the Pharisee's house, what is my obligation to honor, to glorify,
to praise him, to worship him. That's what she's doing. She's worshiping the Lord Jesus. So look with me. And the woman in that city was a sinner. And when she knew that Jesus sat and meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box. Now, you know, when I read this scripture, I think about another scripture. Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why did he do that? Why did Jesus find it necessary to go through Samaria? The woman at the well. Let me ask you this. Do you think the woman at the well was rejected by the religious? Do you think the woman at the well felt helpless and hopeless? Do you think the woman at the well had any hope of ever making it in to God's kingdom? I really, really doubt that she had any hope. But the Lord said, I must needs go through Samaria. Thank God the Lord come to a woman, a friend that had no hope. Right, here's another one. Here's another one just like that. And don't think because you only owe 50 pence that you've got a chance of getting in, because the Bible said when neither one of them could pay, he frankly forgave them both. And you may say, well, now you're adding. I may be adding a word or two right in there, but I believe you understand what I'm saying. And I got another scripture that will say those exact words. So the Lord goes down to Samaria because it's a necessity. This woman hears that the Lord Jesus Christ is down at Simon the Pharisee's house. And I'll tell you what she's got. She's got a necessity to go down there and to worship him and to honor him and to glorify him. And let me tell you this. This ain't a haphazard, fly by the seat of the pants, something I'm going to do because somebody else is going to do. This woman brought an alabaster box full of ointment. She went down there with purpose out of honor and to glorify the Lord Jesus. Let me ask you, and let's be honest. Did you come tonight with any purpose to worship the Lord? Did you come tonight equipped to worship the Lord? This woman came equipped. Both outwardly and inwardly, this woman came to worship the Lord. This woman came to say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord. I want you to know that I love you because you thought enough of me that you would forgive me. And Lord, I have come. I tell you, I believe that she came just like the Lord went to Samaria. It was needful. I must needs go to Samaria. I believe this woman in her heart, a friend went to the house, whatever period of time that was, got her alabaster box, and when she found out where the Lord was, she went there with a purpose of pouring that out on him. She wanted him to know that she loved him. Does the Lord get any of that from us? Honest. Let's be honest. Does the Lord get any of that from us? We're not at the Pharisee's house. We're at the church. We're among family and friends and saved. We're among the people of God. I'll tell you this. If you wanted to worship the Lord and you couldn't because you were lost, there's some folks right here that'll pray with you, pray for you, beg God to forgive you, beg God to bring His Spirit by. Beg God, a friend, to convince you, to help you. But friend, let me tell you this. This woman went down there out of necessity. She went down there to worship the Lord. She went with a purpose. I tell you, she went there to show Him that she loved Him.
We start with Wanda right here, and we go all the way around the house. End up over here with Rita. What was our purpose for coming here tonight? Truthfully, what was your purpose? Was there anything that you planned on bringing to God tonight? Was there anything that you planned on putting in the pot tonight? Was there anything that you came and you wanted to offer and you wanted the world to know? You wanted Simon to know? You wanted the people in the house to know? You wanted the disciples to know that you loved the Lord because He had done a work for you? You see, real forgiveness is going to bring about a necessity. I really believe that. I believe that there will be a necessity that rolls up in the heart and you won't be able to contain it. You'll just have to praise the Lord, honor the Lord, glorify the Lord, because He has done so much for you that absolutely no one in all of the world could ever do for you. So now, remember what we want to think about. We want to think about evidence of being forgiven. We got any evidence? This woman's got evidence. Listen to what the Bible says. And she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at His feet behind Him, weeping, and began to wash His feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with the ointment. I tell you what, she's getting lower and lower, isn't she? I mean, just listen to what the Bible said. She stood at His feet behind Him, weeping, and began to wash His feet. You talk about humble. You talk about honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. A friend, humility. I tell you, she is so humble. A friend, and you know this, a friend in the presence of the Lord, out there she is, not even looking at Him, just looking at His backside. And friend, what's she doing? A friend, the tears are flowing down her face. A friend, falling on His feet, and she begins to wash His feet with the tears coming out of her eyes. You know what Simon gave her? A friend, Simon, I gave him no water for his feet. You know where Simon could have got that water? Out of the earth. You know where this woman got her water? Out of her heart. A friend, she had water that flowed out from out of the inside of her out of honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon probably had plenty of water. But you know something? He didn't have anything even earthly to offer the Lord. This woman had something that was heavenly. What are we offering God? She's got the real thing, folks. She's got evidence. Jesus said this over in about the 8th chapter of John, I believe. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, was that really out of the belly? Was that out of the stomach? Or was He saying out of the midst of man? I believe that He was saying this, by the Holy Spirit of God, out of you is going to come forth rivers of living water. Friend, you know where these tears were coming from? These tears were coming from the heart of this woman. These tears were coming out of a life that had been touched. Friend, no doubt there may have been many a day. Friend, it may have been just a day or two before she was weeping and weeping and weeping over the life that she'd lived, weeping over the distress, weeping over the way that it looked, weeping over how ungodly and how wicked it had been. But I'll tell you right here, she's weeping with tears of joy. Friend, that the Lord would care for her, forgive her, and I'll tell you what she wants to do. She wants to express how she loves Him. You know something? And I'll just be honest. It wasn't but a little handful that's here tonight that was at a singing last Friday night. But you know something? I believe we've got to the place that the only place there's any spirits when a singing. Now you may get mad at me. That'll be all right. If they spirit in the singing, reckon there ought to be any spirit in the Word of God? I realize
I realize this. That sin that's got the spirit in it is coming from a heart that's been changed. But here's the Word of God that would change your life eternally, and there's nothing to praise or to honor God from. Nothing there that would cause me to glorify the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I tell you, this woman, ladies and gentlemen, has got something flowing out of her heart because the Lord did a work on the inside of her. A friend, thank God. Simon didn't have any water to set before the Lord that even come out of the earth. But this woman has got water, a friend, flowing out of her eyes. And you know what that is? Really, that's just a symbol, a friend, of that fountain that's on the inside. She's pouring out her heart on Him. And she takes her glory and she wipes His feet with her glory. Preacher, that's a little bit much, I think. Yeah, that's what the disciples saw. That's what most people think today. If you really yield yourself to God, you really, you know what Corinthians said? Always abounding. Always overdoing it. You know what Simon thought? You know what the disciples thought? Whether you look at this account or you look at the account of Mary or you look in Matthew or you look in John or you look in Mark, you know what the disciples thought? It was a waste. It's a waste. It's a waste that you would pour out something that expensive on the Savior. Let me ask you this. If you could buy it, what would you pay for your salvation? If you could buy it, what would you pay to escape hell? If you could buy it, what would you pay, a friend, to escape hell and to be accepted with God? Jesus Christ has paid the price. And you know what He asked for? He asked that you and I would love Him. Expensive today, isn't it? We come to church service after service, and let me ask you, how much expression, how much evidence of love is there? Really? Really? Be honest now. Would you say that we ought to meet, and if we had our mind and the spirit of worship upon us, that we'd come to church and they wouldn't be preaching, but just every now and then, our friend, there'd be praise and worship. And friend, it wouldn't be a bunch of people with a bunch of instruments a swaying back and forth and clapping their hand, our friend, with a screen up here for you to sing along. I tell you, it'd be the Holy Ghost of God and the Lord Jesus to be worshiped. Folks, our churches are dying. Our churches are dying. True. Only time we can feel or find the Spirit of God's in the singing today. What's wrong with that? I tell you what's wrong with that. Must be the preachers. What's wrong with that? Must be that the congregation's what's wrong with that. Must be that people's not come to worship. Must be what's wrong with that. Must be that God's not done a work in our heart. Must be what's wrong with that. Must be we've forgotten where we came from. Maybe what's wrong with that. Maybe that the world has got us cowed down. Maybe what's wrong with that. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not. I promise I'm not trying to be ugly. But where's God's worship and His love? This woman, I tell you, the Lord done a work for her. She's not ashamed of it. She's ashamed of her sin. She ain't ashamed of Him, though. I tell you, she's down in the most unwelcome place that there is. And you know what she's doing? I tell you, friend, you talk about getting down low. David came out there one day and went through the streets in a linen ephod. And his wife, I was watching out the window, and she said, Oh, didn't your king uncover himself today out in front of all of the maiden? David said, I'll get lower than that. If that's what God wants for me to worship Him, I'll tell you today, would we be willing to come down and to have the approval of the Savior today? People ain't willing to come down. We're too high.
You can send me to the house right now or after the service. This is the book. Here's a woman that the world and the religious crowd rejected, and she is opposed and shamed and ridiculed right here in Simon's house. But I'll tell you what she's got. She's got the real thing. And she ain't ashamed of it either. And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. I tell you what she is. She's lower than the lowest servant at Simon's house. You know what the lowest servant at Simon's house does? He takes a basin and he washes the feet of those that come in as guests. This woman's not lower than that. She's washed his feet with the tears that flows out of her heart and out of her eyes. She's wiped them off with her glory. And she has stooped down and went beyond the servant. I mean, she's down kissing the feet of the blessed Lamb of God. I think you talk about low. She's low. Right. Isn't it wonderful? He wrote this little story and put it in the Bible and has got it preserved in 2021.
Right.
You reckon this story should have any weight to it? Reckon this story... I believe this is the only place you're going to find this. You reckon this story? Is there something here that we in 2021 should glean from this story? And she began to wash his feet with her tears, did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. You know, the Bible says about Mary, I believe that the Bible says about her, that she poured it on his head. This woman, because of what the Lord has forgiven her of, she's not even pouring it on his head. She's pouring it on his feet. You talk about a religious crowd that says, what a waste. I mean, this man is going to go out into the dust and the muck and the mire of the world here in just a little while, and you're going to pour that on his feet? Yes, sir, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give him everything. That's what you said, wasn't it? I'm going to give him everything. What do we need? We need him. He's our everything. I tell you today, friend, are we saved? Are we born again? Have we been forgiven? Where's our love? She's got the evidence. How much does Simon love him? I believe that this story will say to us that Simon is not as a notorious sinner as she is in the eyes of the world. You know, I might go to the local produce stand and come up 50 cents short, and they might say, go ahead. You won't do that at McDonald's. You 50 cents short, you won't have to put something back. You know how much short we are? Simon's 50 pence short. This woman's 500 pence short. Simon's got zero to pay with. The woman's got zero to pay with. Simon's going to hell. This woman's going to hell.
the 50 and the 500 is in the eyes of the world. The inability to pay is in the eyes of God. Now you tell me this. Who do we have to pay for forgiveness? Who has to be satisfied for us to be forgiven? God, I've sinned against God. David said, I sinned against thee and thee only. Did David sin against Bathsheba? He did. Did he sin against Joab? He did. Did he sin against Uriah? He did. Did he sin against Israel? He did. But you know who he sinned against first and foremost of all? He sinned against God. You know who you've sinned against? You've sinned against God. And let me ask you this. With everything that you've got, and all you've got, and all you ever hope to give, can you ever pay God? So you're telling me that you're saved. You're a child of God. You're going to heaven. You've been forgiven, right? Now who paid that debt for you? The Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you've been forgiven, if God is satisfied, Jesus paid your debt. What do I owe Him? You can give Uncle Sam your money. You can give the church your tithes. What are you going to give God? What are you going to give God? He wants your love. He wants your affection. He wants what's on the inside. He's not interested in a water basin. He's interested in water that comes from in here. He is interested in being worshipped. He said to that woman at the well, oh, the time is coming and now is that they that worship God, I shall worship God in spirit and in truth. You think this woman, now I'm not talking about that this woman's in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about that this woman is in the spirit, her personal being. She is in the spirit of worship. I tell you, she came there with purpose.
You know what we could be called into tonight? We could be called in to idolatry tonight by God. We could be called into coming down to church with no spirit, no real desire, no necessity, no purpose. God could call us into being idolaters tonight and being religious zealots tonight, with nothing in our heart. Is that possible? Is that possible that we come to church and we're idolaters? I believe that it's true. Whether you want to accept it or you don't, it doesn't really matter. You know what Simon is? Simon is a religious zealot who has nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got no oil. He's got no water for his feet. He's got no kiss. He's got no greeting. I tell you why he's there. He's there to nitpick. He's there to see if he can find something wrong. He's there when the woman comes in and starts washing the Lord's feet and starts anointing the Lord. Simon has got in his mind, what kind of prophet is this? This ain't a prophet. If this man is a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman he's dealing with. I tell you what the problem with folks is. They know how to be religious, but they don't know anything about Jesus. Simon had the wrong idea about Jesus, didn't he? Simon had the wrong idea about this woman, didn't he? Simon thought there ain't no hope for this lady. She ain't even a lady. There's no hope for this sinner. If this man were really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this was that was touching him. I'll tell you this.
Her touching him didn't destroy his holiness. Her touching him didn't change his glory. Friend, you know what it did? Her touching him, friend, brought an assurance and a confirmation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Friend, I tell you what, thy faith has saved thee. I tell you what this brought. Friend, Simon has absolutely nothing, and this woman's got the real thing. People got the wrong idea about Jesus. I know what we'd like to fill the church with. We'd like to fill the church with good, moral, upright, great people, bill payers, great marriages, good, moral, upright, outstanding, beautiful people. But let me tell you this. This lady didn't fit that bill. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. But for the grace of God, I'd be a drunk. But for the grace of God, I might be a murderer. But for the grace of God, there ain't no telling what I'd be. And the same for you. Though you may think quite highly of yourself, I see where you are. I think you're in the same shape that Simon's in. This woman, despised by Simon, despised by the world. But do you know what she's doing? I tell you, she's pouring her heart, her life, her ointment, her treasure, her money, her reputation. She's putting it all on the line because she loves him.
Right.
Do we love him like that? Preacher, I don't know. I just don't believe I can love him like that. Maybe he's not done much for you. Maybe he healed your broke arm or got you a new job, or maybe you've got a new wife or a new husband, or maybe you got a new automobile, or maybe you got insurance, or maybe the diagnosis from the doctor is good now. That's what he's done for you. I tell you what, he didn't come to get me a new job. He didn't come to get me a new wife. He didn't come to pay my insurance bill. He didn't come to give me health. He come to save sinners. This woman is a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Our friend, Simon's got the wrong idea. And friend, I tell you, our world today has got the wrong idea. Our friend, if the Lord has saved your soul, I believe that we'd have something to praise Him for. Don't you? So let me ask you this. You think she knows she's a sinner? If she didn't know she was a sinner, she wouldn't be here. She would not be in these verses right here. She knew she was a sinner. She knew there was no hope. What did she owe? Well, I don't believe that you can put any real stock in this, but just for the parable's sake, she owed 10 times more than what Simon owed. But you know what Simon's got? Simon's got 0 times 0 love for the Lord Jesus Christ, because Simon has got 0 times 0 forgiveness. This woman has got 10 times more outward sin that you might look at than Simon does. And the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven her of all of it. She feels a necessity to love Him, to worship Him, to honor Him. She feels a necessity. She loves Him. Simon, a man had a creditor. A man had 2 debtors. One owed 500, the other 50. When they had nothing, what did you have? What do you have to satisfy the payment of God for sin? What do you have to offer God to pay for your sin. Who do we owe? Already been said, we sinned against God, so we must owe God, right? Jesus Christ paid the bill in full that I might be accepted with God. Would you think there would be any necessity, any weightiness, any desire, any love, any affection that I would have if God had forgiven me? You see, folks think this is too close. That's too much. That's too much, preacher. That's too much. I don't believe everybody has to do that. No, Simon don't have to do it. Because Simon hasn't been forgiven. But this woman has to do it. Is somebody making her do it? Oh, I tell you what, it's coming out of the midst of her. It's coming out of something like Jeremiah had. Jeremiah said, I'm going to quit. I'm quitting. I'm done. But he said, it was like a fire shut up in my bones and I could not withstand. So if God had saved you, birthed you into the family, made you a child of God, rescued you from hell, paid the ransom for your soul, what do you think would be fitting to offer Him? Nothing.
Wore out, aren't we? We're just wore out. We've worked ourselves to death. We've just labored all day. And we have nothing to offer God. Wonder how He feels about that. Wonder how God feels. Wonder how the Lord Jesus feels when there's no water for His feet. No tears of thanksgiving. No ointment to go on His head. No thank you for what He's done. Has He really done anything for us? You might say, well, I just don't believe that's necessary. Simon, you gave me no kiss. This woman. Now listen, how long do you think this has been going on? He turned to the woman and said, Simon, see this woman? You gave me no water. Simon, you wouldn't even give me anything to wash my feet with. You didn't give me a kiss. You didn't give me any ointment. But this woman, I say her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. Now, why did she love Him? Preacher, she loved Him so He would forgive her. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say we love Him because He first loved us. That's the Bible. We love Him because He first loved us. You know what love is going to do? Ricky Joe, you ever had to forgive Stevie? Has he ever had to forgive you? Time or two through the years. That ever happened with you and Melissa, Ricky? Why did you forgive? And why do you love them? I mean, why don't they just throw you away? No, they love you. And they forgive you. And you forgive them. And you love them. And the Lord forgave us. And we ought to love Him. If we're really forgiven, we ought to love Him, shouldn't we? You reckon the church... Reckon these little boys over here? Reckon these little boys and girls right around here? Reckon these young ladies and young men... Reckon they ought to know that we love the Lord?
reckon that they ought to know that we're really honest to God, we're forgiven? You know, I'm in front of you three times a week most of the time. If I don't know you're forgiven, reckon anybody else knows you've been forgiven? Preacher, I'm forgiven. I'm telling you I am. People tells me stuff all the time. And it don't line up with the Word of God. People tell me they're saved and they won't go to church. People tell me they're saved and there's no Spirit of God. People tell me they love the church and they love the Word of God. But there's no evidence. Are you forgiven? If you're forgiven, then there's humbleness. There's shame over my sin. But there's no shame. I'm not ashamed of the Savior. I'm going to pour out my heart. I'm going to pour out my life. I'm going to pour that on Him. I'm going to give that to Him and honor Him. And I'm going to do it because He first loved me.